You got to plan, ladies and gentlemen, before you can do. That's my philosophy of radio. I was watching CNN. First mistake, maybe. I was watching CNN, and I saw the crawl at the bottom. You know, there were people employed. Crawl doesn't just happen. People have been reassigned from other tasks to write the crawl. I know this because I was in Honolulu this week. Honolulu. And there was a story in the paper, the Honolulu Star Bulletin. A weighty, weighty journal. A story about a Hawaiian word that occurred in the crawl. And they were explaining why. It was because a native Hawaiian was working at CNN and had now been assigned to crawl duty, the 5 p.m. to midnight shift. And she had just snuck in a Hawaiian word to relieve the boredom, I guess. Crawl writing, ladies and gentlemen. A career path that has opened up thanks to recent events. You see, there are jobs that are lost. We know about those. Now here are jobs that have opened up. All three news channels have apparently big demand for crawl writers. Anyway, I was watching the crawl on CNN today, and at one point, it wasn't actually on the crawl. It was on the static part above the crawl, where the words just sit for a while the crawl marches by underneath. And it said, Veterans Day honors Americans who fought in wars. Well, that was on CNN. Somebody was talking about the president speaking at a Veterans Day ceremony, and it said, Veterans Day honors Americans who fought in wars. Are they going to... Thanksgiving Day honors... No, I've never seen... And I was wondering, why is it there? For whom? Who, watching CNN, could be so bereft of the background necessary that they would need to be told that, need to read that? Because they didn't tell you that. You have to just go down and... I wonder why is the president speaking? What is this Veterans Day all about? It would be the slow child. And then I found out, because a few moments later, the anchor at that time on CNN, Martin Savage, said the president, speaking in New York today on America's Memorial Day. And so, Martin, read the crawl, babe. Read the crawl. Even with the Hawaiian words, it'll teach you something. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, I was in Hawaii. And, you know, the reason people get on the radio is so sometimes they can say things that ordinarily they could only say to their friends and relatives and have a larger platform, a larger audience, if you will. Well, you are. Not only you will, you are, unless you don't. And so I take advantage of this to relate just a story about a rent-a-car company who's... everybody in Hawaii, in Honolulu, was saying, giving the same spiel that you've heard a million times on the media about, the tourist business is down. Oh, my God, we have no business. We'll give you these shirts. We'll give you these shells. Please, we have no business. There are no tourists here. And then... my wife and I decided we'd rent a car and do a little driving around the island just to get out of Waikiki. If you've been there, you know why. And we were told, no cars. There are no cars to rent on the island. A cruise ship came in. There are no cars to rent. I'm thinking, already, you know, it's an aesthetic nightmare. Now you're telling me that in the midst of complaining about how you got no business, one cruise ship hits town. You got no cars to rent? The hell kind of town you rent? So finally, this one rental car company was dredged up by my hotel. They said, yeah, we got cars. All right, we have a reservation. We go there. About a half-hour line. But it's, you know, whole island people. They behind the counter, that is to say. So I finally get to the counter, slap down my credit card, sign the waivers and the thing and the initial and the thing, and in lieu of handing me the paperwork and the keys, the woman says, right now we have no cars, go through this door and wait outside. and I join a group of 24 people who have fallen for the same scam. Sitting there now for an hour and a half since their reservation time, waiting for the cars that the rent-a-car company told them they had, but of course they don't because it's, you know, a cruise ship came in and there's no tourist business. So a warning, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot mention the name of the rent-a-car company. All I can say is, like they say in Texas, remember the Alamo. Hello, welcome to the show.
I love to linger in the moonlight on Honolulu Bay. Fond memories cling to me by moonlight, although I'm far away. And all the beaches are full of peaches who bring their yokes along. And in the glimmer of the moonlight, they love to sing this song. If you like a ukulele lady, ukulele lady like you. If you like to linger where it's shady, ukulele lady linger too. If you kiss a ukulele lady and you promise ever to be true, and she sees another ukulele lady fooling around with you, maybe she'll cry
an awful lot.
Maybe she'll sigh,
and maybe not.
Maybe she'll find somebody else by and by,
by
to sing to. When it's cool and shady, when it's really wicky wacky woo. If you like a ukulele lady, a ukulele lady like you. She used to sing to me by moonlight on Honolulu Bay. Fond memories cling to me by moonlight, although I'm far away. Someday I'm going where breezes are blowing and lips were made to kiss. And in the glimmer of the moonlight, I'll hear that song I miss. If you
like a ukulele lady, ukulele lady like you.
If you
like
to linger where it's shady, a ukulele lady linger too. If
you
kiss
a ukulele lady and you promise ever to be true,
and
she
sees another ukulele lady fooling around with you, maybe she'll cry
an awful lot.
Maybe she'll sigh,
and maybe not.
Maybe she'll find somebody else
by and by
to sing to. Oh, when it's cool and shady, when it's really wicky wicky woo. If you
like a ukulele lady, ukulele lady like you,
like me, like I like you, and we both like the same. And I'd like to say this very day, a ukulele lady like you. Ukulele lady like you.
You. I didn't mean to hurt you.
that made you cry. I didn't want to hurt you. I'm just a jealous guy. I was feeling insecure. You might not love me.
Inside, tears from a love that's mine. ways that I tried to keep deep down inside is from a love that gone beyond recall. And when I dim the light in my room tonight, teardrops will fall.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show, and time for our regular feature.
We're so sorry.
The Le Show Apologies of the Week. From Santa Barbara, California, the Board of Supervisors have expressed profound regret for the inappropriate remarks of their county administrator last week, which many considered shockingly anti-Muslim. The board did not say if other repercussions were forthcoming for Mike Brown. Is that the bear? Is that the bear, Mike Brown? I don't think so. Except that he would undergo some kind of sensitivity training. They did not specify whether electrodes would be involved. The supervisor said they were still evaluating the effects of the comments on county employees and the community. Brown said he could not comment on the board's statement because it came out of a closed session. Those aren't open to the public. Monday of this week, he said he misspoke and then failed to explain what he really meant. What did he say? All those interviewed relayed the same essential account of Brown's State of the County address. Well, that's your first mistake. Mr. Brown, State of the County address. Sort of self-contradictory, isn't it? The county's part of the state. Anyway, he delivered it at the Buellton Marriott, to about 200, that's home of the pea soup, isn't it? Yes, it is. To about 200 county managers and department heads. It may have been the pea soup that influenced him. Anyway, he was outlining challenges that the county economy would face, Santa Barbara County specifically, would face in the next year, including the war. During that portion of his speech, he projected a giant picture of the World Trade Center in flames on the wall. Those present said the administrator became quite emotional during his speech, saying that Western civilization was under attack. He also said this nation's religions were under attack, they said, adding that he characterized America as, quote, a nation of Christians and Jews, unquote. The quote that county employees paraphrased as the most offensive had Mr. Brown saying, quote, in recent weeks I'm sure you've heard academics, pundits, and religious leaders saying that Islam is a peace-loving religion, that Muslims are not a violent people. Still quoting Mr. Brown, well, that's bunk, unquote. Employees said Mr. Brown then gave a litany of evidence, including the murder of Olympic athletes, bombed airliners, and killings of military personnel overseas. When asked to clarify his remarks, he reportedly repeated his statements verbatim, even reading from his talking points. Several people stormed out of the room. One woman cried and reportedly yelled at Mr. Brown. Several top county officials pulled Mr. Brown aside and encouraged him to apologize, which he did. The new director of the Human Relations Commission of Santa Barbara County is putting together a document outlining the comments. He's also exploring the idea of diversity and sexual harassment training for every county employee. Don't know why they got into sexual harassment there. But while you're at it, just train them for everything. One assistant department head said something more than an apology was necessary to restore her confidence. I'm pretty skeptical, she said, of his ability to continue as a credible leader. I hate to say there's nothing he can do, but I haven't seen anything he can do. The employee also wanted to counter the impression that all of the department heads rallied around Brown after he apologized at a meeting late Monday. It's really hard to correct statements like that, she said. I think people are going to question what his values are. It's particularly hard because he was asked clarifying questions, and he didn't respond as if he got it. I'm telling you, ladies, Buellton is the pea soup capital of North America, and it just has an effect on folks, the pea soup. I blame the soup. And also in the almost apologizing file from Forbes.com, Enron, the good people at Enron. This is a company that basically led the way towards deregulating the market for electricity and natural gas. Yes, that's them. They're in the helping business. Anyway, Enron, according to Forbes, wants a rocket fueled by new wave business and accounting practices, admitted this week that its financial records for the past 4.5 years were false. Financial statements for 1997 through 2000 and the first two quarters of 2001 and the audit reports should not be relied upon, the company said. Should not be relied upon. That's the financial world's way of saying we're sorry, but we're not really sorry. But if you decide to sue, then we're really sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today at the Le Show Dome because I'm not at the big meeting. This just tells me how low in the show business totem pole I really, really am. Because if I had any clout at all, the car guys would be here today subbing for me, because the industry's top leaders, Sumner Redstone, Rupert Murdoch. Hey, Rupe, welcome to town, babe. Your ex-wife is still here. They're here in Beverly Hills right now as I speak, as I pound this thing, meeting for a Sunday morning brunch with Karl Rove. It's been a while since we've heard about Karl Rove. He's been on the back burner since the whole war thing started because he's President Bush's political advisor. They're hammering out a specific agenda for the entertainment industry to aid the fight on terrorism. You remember there was an initial meeting back in October, and those present expressed some impatience with the lack of specifics at that meeting. Today we're hammering down the specifics with Sumner Redstone and Rupert. Rupe, you need some change while you're you need some money. The initial meeting, of course, involved filmmakers and actors. Today is an industry summit. It's a kind of a Loya Jirga. You look it up. You should know. It's down there on the crawl somewhere. Jack Valenti, head of the Motion Picture Association of America, sent the invitations, which I didn't get one of. Paramount Pictures chairman Cherry Lansing also signed it, and the head of Viacom Entertainment, a man you've never heard of. The invites went out to the owners and CEOs of the various studios and networks. Most of them quickly agreed to attend. The hell? It's a way to get out of the house on Sunday. The invitation stressed the importance of launching an industry-wide effort to help the war effort and to help the effort to help other efforts. The purpose of the meeting is to identify strategies and agree on practical ideas, which involve films and TV messages. One source emphasized the production of outright propaganda films will not be on the table. Showbiz says the invitation has long held the power to communicate, educate, and inspire. Yeah, I saw the Emmys. Skills that must now be dedicated to the present crisis. This is, as I say, limited to Hollywood's senior statesman. That's right. Rupert Murdoch is a statesman. Ask his ex-wife. Once we work out some specific objectives, said a source, the creative community will be invited back in, unquote. We're a community. The press is barred from the Sunday summit taking place at a Beverly Hills hotel. Not the Beverly Hills Hotel, a Beverly Hills hotel. Says one top executive, Hollywood can contribute in positive ways without becoming a propaganda organ. Maybe a propaganda gland. Have they thought about that? All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get scared again. In an effort to protect its copyrighted material for digital distribution, the good people at Universal MCA, people who own Spinal Tap, I might point out, they're preparing to incorporate technology that may keep you from playing your legally purchased CDs on your computer as soon as next month. The digital rights management technology that Universal is most closely considering is called Cactus Data Shield from the Israeli company Midbar Tech. The technology would be used to scramble the data on an audio CD so that CD and DVD drives used by computers can't play them. That technology will be applied to at least one new CD release from Universal before the end of this year, with production to be ramped up after that, according to the sources. Consumer campaigners say that it's simply a matter of time before the major music companies use such technology as a matter of course to keep consumers from playing legally purchased CDs over their computers at work or at home. Music companies can do that without warning consumers or lowering the price of a CD that may suddenly become less useful. Sony has already incorporated copy protection software, Key2 Audio, in promotional CDs of Michael Jackson's single, You Rock My World, making it impossible for radio producers to play the CD on computers or to re-record the single. Hey, maybe that's why it flopped. Did you ever think of that? No, or maybe it sucked. And also in the fear-mongering department, other things to fear besides anthrax, because the anthrax thing basically fizzled out. The FCC is considering a rule that sets an opt-in standard for phone companies that wish to sell consumer proprietary network information. What is that? Under that rule, phone companies had to ask your permission before selling that data, which includes a list of the phone numbers that you call and the numbers from which you have been called. The rule is being reconsidered at the request of U.S. West, challenging the FCC rule in court, arguing that that violated the phone company's First Amendment rights to use and to sell your calling data. Phone companies under the law actually can claim that the numbers you dial are their intellectual property. Face it. It's over. The whole privacy thing is over. If you wonder that the whole privacy, I'm telling you, copyright your life before it's too late, because the privacy thing is dead. Just a final nail in that coffin. Anyone who can afford a hefty subscription price can buy the social security numbers of dead people from the federal government. How did the hijackers of September 11th get social security numbers? Maybe this way. That practice is getting a closer look, of course. The Social Security Administration has been required to compile its death master file since a 1980 court settlement that in essence said dead people do not have privacy rights. Well, why should they be any different from the rest of us? And the Social Security numbers have to be made available under the Freedom of Information Act. Apparently no other information is now available under that act, but dead people's Social Security numbers have to be made available. So, lesson number one in the new world, ladies and gentlemen, don't die.
My fingers on the coffee pot. Toast was cold and orange juice was hot. I should start over, but you know I'd rather not. Same thing gonna happen again when that's back in. You know, last night as I was walking down the street, whistling the blues to the tapping of my feet, some old cranks called the cops on the beat. It'll happen every time, every morning when I get up. I miss my connections and I'm late for work again. You know they'll probably drop the atom bomb the day my ship comes in. I disinfect a nickel cause I get paid off in yen. Somehow you just can't win when that's back in. Go on. Oh, box playing the same old melody keeps on bringing back those blue memories. You know this evil feeling's gonna be the death of me. Think I'm going out of my mind every morning when I get up. I put my fingers on the pot. Toast was cold and the juice was hot. I should start over, but you know I'm rather not. Same thing again, that's the bag I'm in. Oh, that's the kind of bag I'm in. I'll never get out of these blues alive, 'cause that's the bag I'm in.
This is Le Show, and now by special arrangement and through private sources, here's ABC News White House correspondent Terry Moran in New York.
Here we go. Hello. Hi. Really? I think it gets it. Well, just to at least say it's Veterans Day, he's there. I mean, it. Well, look, rather than just start off saying yesterday, it'd be better to start off, since we are in the news business, by saying today, Veterans Day, he's doing X or whatever. Just, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's a big American flag behind him, right? Didn't they do a wide shot pullback? What? No. Oh. All right. Yeah, fine. I think so, yeah. I mean, right. Well, why am I here?
Who says people in television news don't ask profound questions, ladies and gentlemen? You can't get more existential than, why am I here? And now, winding it up and setting it off, it's time for me to read the trades for you. And this is a good one. You'll like this. Do we have time for this? Yes, we do. From Electronic Media, KDKA cheating on the NFL. I'll read it for you. Oh, this is good. You'll like this. You'll be glad you aren't at the Showbiz Summit meeting when you hear this. Roop, can I freshen your orange juice? KDKA-TV, the CBS-owned and operated TV station in Pittsburgh, has been caught compressing a recent live NFL National Football League game in order to insert an extra local 30-second commercial into the broadcast. The NFL says the action was in violation of CBS's NFL contract. KDKA is owned by CBS. Data indicate that KDKA also may have been squeezing some of its daily primetime network programs to add extra local commercials. Furthermore, network logs indicate at least one other CBS-owned station may have engaged in this practice during prime time. The implications are spellbinding. It's the specter of a network's own local stations bowing to the financial pressures of their parent company by increasing revenues in ways that are off-limits to the network's affiliates. Additionally, such shenanigans might violate agreements with program owners and anger national advertisers. KDKA was able to add the extra commercial during the Pittsburgh Steelers-Kansas City Chiefs football game October 25th by using Prime Images' Time Machine, which makes it easy to take a live program, delay it to extend the commercial break, and then micro-edit or reduce the remaining portion of the program to have it end on time. Local 30-second commercials during the game are worth $6,000 to $10,000 in Pittsburgh. The station was caught when a Pittsburgh newspaper columnist, noticed that the game on KDKA television was running about 30 seconds behind the live radio broadcast of the game. preferring the radio announcers, he had decided to listen to the game on radio while watching the action on TV. But he was surprised to find he would hear a play on the radio long before he saw it on KDKA. Said an NFL spokesman, "We were concerned that it violated our TV contract, which obviously means that all affiliates and the network partners must show the game live. And we also had a problem with them inserting local commercials in that manner. We view it as an isolated incident and don't believe it will happen again." One former Pittsburgh TV executive said, quote, "This is just the tip of the iceberg." According to data, KDKA sells about 30% more 30-second commercials in prime time than did the NBC affiliate. Broadcasters familiar with Pittsburgh said that not even Viacom chief operating officer Mel Karmazin's legendary pressure on sales staffs to get out and sell could account for such margins without the creation of inventory through squeezing programs. A former network executive familiar with CBS-owned station said, this is a source familiar with the inner workings of KDKA's operation, said the creation of additional commercial time by using the time machine to alter the CBS network feed is done in several day parts almost daily. It is a clear, deliberate act, said the source. John Severino is quoted here. He's denying that he ever heard about the time machine. He used to run that station, I believe, or all of CBS's station. Among the people interviewed, there is a debate about how aware Mel Karmazin, head of Viacom, is of any local creation of primetime inventory. There's so much pressure from Mel, said the alumnus of CBS, to do whatever you've got to do. You do what you gotta do. You gotta speed up the program to put in commercials. You gotta do it. Something you learn when I read the trades for you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, some better news. Seen in Baltimore, Washington International Airport this week, Madonna, Austin Powers, Groucho Marx, and Uncle Sam. They strode past rifle-toting soldiers plunging into line so long they seemed to cross several time zones. Groucho went right up to the grimmest, most unapproachable-looking traveler, pawed the sleeve of her coat, and said, "Is that felt? It is now." Groucho and the rest of the troop of pop culture icons were hired by the Maryland Aviation Administration to soothe the jangled nerves of travelers scared about flying or angered by hours-long waits, says a Baltimore, Washington airport spokesman. "We decided anything to make the environment more friendly and comfortable would help. Anything that would be distracting would be good." To soothe passengers in the brave new world of airline travel, the airport has been hiring entertainers the past few weekends, sometimes on Friday afternoon, sometimes on Saturday or Sunday. Spends a couple of $1,000s a day for professional distraction. Cher look-alike, Mae West look-alike. Austin Powers look-alike. Working the Southwest ticketing area. "It's a great idea to have these people here," says Sam Fletcher, a 20-year-old junior heading to his back to his hometown of Birmingham. "You can get pretty disgruntled waiting in line," said Larry French, a Baltimore resident. "Why do they spend the money on shortening these lines? They think this is going to make me feel safer. It makes me wonder what they're trying to cover up." So if you're flying into Baltimore Washington Airport, don't be surprised to see Groucho.
So you say, Me deixa morar nesse azul, me deixa encontrar minha paz. Você que é bonito demais, se ao menos pudesse saber que eu sempre fui só de você. Você sempre foi só de mim.
Next up on the show, a special feature, Thanksgiving after 9/11, cooking tips for a nation at war. We
come fly with me. Let's take off for the blue. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Hey, how's everybody at Terminal B today?
Ralph the talking computer, that's but an unexpected entrance, but an effective one.
Thanks, Harry. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I've been busier than a one-armed hacker.
Wow. Well, your timing has gotten better. I don't know what you've been up to.
Thanks.
We know there's been a terrible technology crunch, and
and we might as well say it straight out.
Mm-hmm.
My main source of income came from reading Larry King's columns on your show.
This is true.
And they ain't no such animal. No. No.
Okay, colorful way of putting it, Ralph. Yeah, Larry King ceased writing his column for USA Today, I think, just in the right before or right after September 11th, so it didn't get the notice and the problem. So anyway, that's done.
That train has left the station, amigo.
It has left the station, amigo. So what have you been up to, Ralph?
Harry,
yeah.
Remember a little earlier in the broadcast?
I remember parts of this broadcast for up to minutes, yes.
The entertainer at Baltimore Airport?
Yes.
Well,
don't tell
some people talked on my behalf to the folks at San Jose Airport, and
yeah.
Now, for the last 3 weeks, I've been entertaining the people in line.
Unbelievable.
You know,
yeah.
It's one thing to see some lousy Groucho impersonator or some out-of-work actress whose husband, between slapping her around, tells her she looks like freaking Madonna.
No, that's really...
But when a talking computer comes out, does 10 or 15 strong minutes of A material, and some signs as well, I think the whole terminal's reaction is double wow.
Double wow is a good reaction?
Cute. Harry, word of advice.
Yeah.
Don't be patronizing toward the new kids in the business. They're the elephant you're gonna be cleaning up after someday.
Okay, point well taken, Ralph. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
It's just...
I'm a threat.
Exactly. There's a feeling of, uh-oh, is my job going to be taken over by a computer? Tell me what you do at San Jose Airport to entertain people. What's the A material?
Oddly enough, I open with some airline jokes.
Really?
You know everybody waiting in line hates the airline.
Well, sure, but...
So you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
But of course you got to be careful.
That's what I'm...
There's a lot of kids there. So you can't work blue.
Well, you can't work blue. That's one of the things. But, okay, so you do some airline jokes. Then what?
That's when I go back to the thing that first made us friends.
Wow, you've been you really have timing now, Ralph. And what is that? You don't read Larry King's column?
Well, of course not.
No,
they ain't no such animal no mo. I do a tribute to Larry.
Wow.
A case thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a collection of some of the best stuff from the column over the years.
Wow.
It's a real crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
People are coming down to the airport now just to take the set.
Well, I think that would be a security problem.
But
maybe you could give us a little sample of what you do at Santa. What terminal is it, by the way? Is it Terminal B?
Yes, it's Terminal B.
Okay.
The Southwest passengers and I have a real warm thing going, you know. But yes, Harry, I'd be delighted to do a little bit of a case thing.
Okay.
I brought my own music.
Excellent. So here is Ralph the Talking Computer from his new presentation at the San Jose Airport, A King's Things, a tribute to the late Larry King column.
The column is late.
That's right.
Larry's fine. Did you ever notice how some women's favorite color is purple? Look in the dictionary under Scooter, and you'll still see a picture of Phil Rizzuto. If the cantaloupe isn't the best melon in the world, I'd like to know what is. Tom Clancy should have a great new book out right about now. Best kept secret, Miami's delis are better than New York's. Never say shut up to a man with a gun. It's got the doctors baffled, but Bob Goulet's voice gets better as the years go by. If the Pippin isn't the best apple around, I really will eat a lot of garlic pills. They haven't made a good musical comedy film since The Wiz. Art Modell may be the smartest man in the NFL. Am I crazy? Or is pie always better than cake? The great heart specialist Dr. Paul Dudley White once told me, it's not brain surgery. We all know about ALAR, but whatever happened to plums? The great Buddy Hackett agrees, the nose is the funniest part of the body. If the German Shepherd isn't the king of pets, then maybe it's the Schnauzer.
Wow. Ralph, the
thanks so much. Please patronize Gifts and News. Have a safe flight.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your
no
closing.
Prob.
Ralph the Talking Computer doing some of his act for the waiting passengers at San Jose Airport. And then, Ralph, you mentioned you close with a song?
I open and close with Come Fly With Me.
Okay.
I do some special lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Come Fly With Me. Get out of San Jose. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. That
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, so special material.
That's right. You got to give the people something they can't get from the talking computer in Terminal A.
Is there one?
Not yet.
Okay, so you're still the first.
Yep.
Ralph the Talking Computer, thank you for stopping by
and
hipping us to your new profession, your new endeavor. Landing on your feet, as it were, even though, of course, you have none.
Why,
And again, congratulations on the new professionalism.
Next thing you know,
yeah,
I'll be joining ACMA.
Don't give him ideas.
Yeah, but
Ralph the Talking Computer, helping to keep the nation just a little less on edge. Thanks again.
Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night. All the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, time, time with a sort of runic rhyme. With the tintinabulation that so musically wells. From the bells, 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 bells.
from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells. Hear the mellow wedding bells, golden bells. What a world of happiness their harmony foretells. Through the balmy air of night, how they ring out their delight. Through the dances and the yells and the rapture that impels. How it swells, how it dwells on the future, how it tells. With the swinging and the ringing of the golden, golden bells. Of the bells, 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 bells. Of the rhyming and the chiming of the bells. Hear the loud alarm bells, brazen bells. What a tale of terror now their turbulency tells. Much too horrified to speak. Oh, they can only shriek for all the ears to know how the danger ebbs and flows. Leaping higher, higher, higher in a desperate desire, in a clamorous appealing to the mercy of the fire. But the bells, 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 with the clamor and the clanging of the bells. Tolling of the bells, iron bells. What a world of solemn thought their monody compels. For all the sound that floats from the rust within our throats, and the people sit and groan in their muffled monotone. And the tolling, tolling, tolling peals of glory in the rolling, from the throbbing and the sobbing of the melancholy bells. Of the bells, 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 bells. Of the moaning and the groaning of the bells. Hear the sledges with the bells, silver bells. What a world of merriment their melody foretells. How they tinkle, tinkle, tinkle in the icy air of night. All the heavens seem to twinkle with a crystalline delight. Keeping time, time, time with a sort of runic rhyme. With the tinted adulation that so musically wells. From the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the More Things Change department, a new book examining secret tapes made by President Johnson in the early days of the Vietnam War. So only weeks after Congress gave him the authority to pursue the war, he privately acknowledged that the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the triggering incident for that resolution by Congress, it probably never happened. When we got through with all the firing, he said ruefully to his Secretary of Defense, Bob McNamara, quote, we concluded maybe they hadn't fired at all, unquote. But hey, now we make, sneakers in Vietnam, so it would, don't we? Osama bin Laden admitted that his Al-Qaeda group carried out the attacks on the World Trade Center, according to the London paper, the Sunday Telegraph. In a previously undisclosed video, which has been circulating for 2 weeks among his supporters, he says, quote, history should be a witness that we are terrorists. Yes, we kill their innocents. The Twin Towers were legitimate targets. He justifies killing the occupants of the Twin Towers because they were not civilians. Islam forbids the killing of innocent civilians, even in a holy war. He says, quote, the towers were supposed to be filled with supporters of the economical powers of the United States who are abusing the world. And Christopher Curry's company, this is a British internet investor, purchased a domain name that once belonged to the Saudi bin Laden group, the international construction conglomerate owned by Osama's family. Saudi bin Laden group.com. was registered on September 11th, 2000, with an expiration date of September 11th, 2001. Isn't that wacky? Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz, on XM satellite radio all over the country, and on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. And I'd tell you, it'd be just like having a Sunday brunch with Rupert if you'd agree to join me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much, uh-huh. Freshen your coffee, Rupe? The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Le Show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.